This is the show that pulls back the industry curtain. We're exploring pop culture, music icons, and food gods. It's the Jeremiah Show with Dr. D, broadcasting from the HJL Hospitality and Evolve Studios in LA and KZSB AM 1290 and FM 96.9 Santa Barbara, or somewhere from the road. He's opened and fixed more than 200 restaurants, bars, nightclubs, hotels, and neighborhood joints around the globe. He's an industry driver, an author, and a columnist. He's a restaurateur with legendary rock star Mick Fleetwood in Fleetwood's on Front Street in Lahaina, Maui. And he's your radio host. And now, back from a race around the sun, Jeremiah Higgins.
Hello, this is Daz Marlett with the PGA of America. I'm the Senior Director for Education and Professional Development. And you're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
Hey, welcome to The Jeremiah Show. Man, I'm excited for this show today. Dr. D, you've got a really good friend from the past on who's made such a success of himself, and so excited to have him on the show. All right, I wanted to mention, though, before we get to my special guest today, our friend Yoshiki. You know, Yoshiki the rock star, Yoshiki the...
Oh, yeah.
God, what does... Yoshiki does everything.
What doesn't he do?
What doesn't he do is a better... Yeah. It would take us forever to list all the things that he does, but he's a rock star. He's a pianist. He is a drummer for X Japan and solo. Starting January 1st, 2022... So we've already passed that date. It's, you can go now and stream Yoshiki live at Carnegie Hall on demand for the first time on PBS Passport.
Wow.
It's the online streaming platform for America's largest public broadcast networking at PBS. So go to PBS.org, Passport, and videos, and look up Yoshiki. It's just a great, amazing concert with Yoshiki. We're going to play one of the songs from the concert. It's called Miracle, at the very end of the show, from Yoshiki. Again, he's a good friend of ours. And I visited his studio, by the way. This time off that we had, I went down and visited his studio, took a little tour. Yeah. It is incredible. He's got those pianos that are worth $1 million. I forget the brand.
Would I be breaking into his studio to take his equipment because it would be so cool?
You wouldn't make it out. You wouldn't make it. It's the most secure compound.
Okay.
But it's just, and it's amazing how many great albums that we all have grown up and loved were made at the studio. It's over there across from Universal Studios.
Very cool.
Again, Yoshiki on PBS, Passport, Carnegie Hall. Yoshiki live at Carnegie Hall. You can go to yoshiki.net. to check out more and see what Yoshiki's doing. Just an amazing, amazing person, amazing man, amazing artist. And he's on Instagram at Yoshiki Official. Okay, so as you know, many of you know, over the past three decades, I have opened, I've owned, I've operated some of your favorite restaurants and neighborhood joints around the world. And I wish I had better news for the restaurant business right now. It's just so so sad that over the three years now going into COVID, that they're in trouble.
Yeah.
Many of these independent restaurants are in trouble. So with one mandate after another, some places you need masks, some places you need your COVID, your card, your proof of vaccination. With supply chain issues, labor shortages, restaurants are down, Dr. T, 50% over the last month in reservations and walk-ins. And it was hard enough making pennies on the dollar as a restaurant owner before, but now it's clearly impossible. And I'm not exaggerating that sad fact at all. Many independent restaurants, many small independent, our favorite restaurants are facing closure right now. Our social networking gathering places are slowly evaporating. I mean, restaurants and bars were they're so important to us for our well-being and our health. And a lot of them are just totally evaporated, gone. Not only that, but the cities are going to lose millions of dollars in revenue and tax dollars, from not only the workers, but the restaurants, the businesses. So right now, man, I just really want to put a plea out there. I know everybody's so tired of, everyone needs help. Everybody needs, some effort in some way, some handout, some help to get back up on their feet. But the community, you know, if we can gather together from the suppliers to the customers to the business associations to come off the bench right now, make a difference in this fight. Set aside 10 minutes if you got for one day and go to saverestaurants.com. There's how you can help. There's graphics there. There's copy. There's everything you need for social media. So you can basically copy and paste and put it up really right from the site. They make it really easy for you just to get involved. Call Congress, saverestaurants.com, /call Congress. You just click it very, very easily. It takes minutes and you put in, you know, put in your support there. And please share with your network. Pass it to your produce distributors, the farmers, laundry services, local banks, chamber of commerce, or anyone that loves restaurants. And that's all of us, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. So I can't say enough, and I appreciate your support and the help in this fight to keep the RRF replenished for those restaurants that desperately need help in the communities. Okay. I want to get to our special guest.
Uh-huh.
And we, in fact, we met. His mom used to manage a restaurant.
Really?
When I was back in high school. So let me take us back little bit here. Stories from the past. And they're going to be good ones because we neither Dawes nor I need anybody hating us out there or any bad press. Okay. So when I was a freshman in high school, my parents bought a small cabin in Spirit Lake, Idaho. We were 25 miles from the high school, and we were 7 miles from a little resort called Stone Ridge Golf Resort. So I couldn't drive back then. I had a license, but my parents were overprotective. I couldn't drive to school because the road was paved. I don't know what the pavement meant, where I could, it wasn't safe, but I couldn't drive on the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't drive the little two-lane highway over to Stone Ridge. But what I could do was drive my dad's old red Ford. Remember that one, Dawes? That old red Ford on the 7 miles of dirt road over to Stone Ridge, the back roads, right? What my parents didn't know, though, was, but they're going to find out now, it would have been safer for them to allow me to take the paved highway because the dirt roads and the rear wheel drive on that Ford made excellent donuts. And I peeled out and I took that Ford around and around in circles, all the 7 mile dirt road, all the way over to Stone Ridge every day and all the way back. Stone Ridge became my home away from home. I spent many days and nights swimming in the pool or in the lake near the golf course, trying to learn how to golf, collecting frogs. It was fun. We've collected frogs, swinging from the rope swing at the lake, drinking beers on the golf course at night with my friend. I don't know if he wants me to tell his mom this, but yeah, we had a couple beers on the golf course at night and his sister Tracy. And I, along with every teenage male for 30 miles around, had a crush on Tracy, his sister. This is a fact that Dawes was aware of and always kept a cool eye, an older brother eye on us. But Tracy is just a good friend. Dawes lived at Stone Ridge on the first home along the water at the entrance of the golf course, right behind, correct me, Dawes, if I'm wrong, but I think the 18th hole.
That's correct.
Yeah. His mother managed the restaurant at the golf course. She kind of became a second mom for all of us. And Dawes managed the pro shop. Tracy waited tables, and eventually I became a greens mower. It's a job that I often look back on as my favorite job I've ever had. And I wish I could have done it forever. Still, right now. Something about watching the sun come up and trying to get to the greens mode before the first golfer showed up. I would have kept the job forever, like I said, but eventually I got fired for fault by Dan, who I want to talk about today too, for falling asleep at golf course superintendent. I fell asleep, Dr. D, on the, I think this was the 9th hole, which was right across the street, right across the path from the restaurant and the pro shop. And it's where all the golfers that were starting out in the morning would get their coffee and eat their pancakes. I fell asleep. I nodded off. I mowed path off the green into a sand trap that was like, I flipped over the handlebars.
Wait a minute. You fell asleep while mowing?
While mowing. Well, I'll tell you, there was a good excuse. It was our senior kegger the night before. I had to get there at 4 a.m.
Gotta have a good excuse.
Yeah, I just stayed up too late. So, yeah, I'm sorry. All those golfers. It was quite a scene because I woke up with sand in my face and I look up and everybody's like, oh, God.
I just received an email from Dawes's attorney saying that he disavows any knowledge of your actions.
Yeah. This has nothing to do with Dawes. Dawes is always on time. He always dressed perfectly. He was a perfect professional. This is my issue. Those were the best summers of my life, though. And so it's been out at Stone Ridge. I mean, honestly, that was like when you look back to some of the best days of your life and you have this almost a sunny memory, that was it. Back, you know, those days with Dawes and Richard Abbey and Steve, all my friends out there. Dawes continued on in golf and is now the senior director of education and employment department for the PGA. He is one of the most generous, nicest, kindest people I know. He deserves all of the success that he has earned and then some. And please help me welcome my good friend, Dawes Marlett. Dawes, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It was so good. I got to catch up with you on another radio show a few months back, and have wanted you on my show forever. I know you know this. We've been your schedule is so crazy with everything that you're doing. Where are you at now, Dawes? Where do you live these days? What do you call home?
I basically live in northern Dallas. I recently moved here. We got a big project going on here, moving our headquarters office from Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, where I spent nearly 15 years, to northern Dallas. It's an exciting project. It's a massive resort that we're putting in. It's generational for sure.
Yeah.
I'm just still trying to figure out geography. I don't know, north, south, east, west. There's no mountains here. In Florida, it was flat. The biggest incline you would have in Florida would be the curb. Here in Texas, it's flatter. So yeah, I'm trying to find the ocean and I'm trying to find a mountain. No luck so far.
Yeah, people, I don't think so. Thank you.
Northern Dallas.
You may have. I've got some, one of my best friends, Fisher Investments, Damian Ornani, lives out there. Yeah, we got to get you guys together. He's a big golfer. You've probably met him and didn't know it at some point. I've also got family members that own restaurants there. Streets Fine Chicken. Have you been there? Streets Fine Chicken.
Not yet.
Got to check it out. Liberty Burger. I got to send you to all these places. Keep you fed. Because you, Dawes is actually an Iron Man, right? Is that the correct terminology?
That's correct. Yeah.
How often do you do this? And explain what that is in case somebody out there.
Oh, well, it's triathlon. So the Iron is the full distance, which means you swim 2.4 miles, you ride 112, and then you run a marathon. So it's a lifestyle for sure. That was one of the selling points of South Florida, because you could be in tropical climate every single day. There was never a bad day. It's a little more seasonal in Texas here, but nonetheless nice. There's just a single bike lane to be had around here. I've been hit by four cars, and I fear that Smith is on its way around Texas. So
you've been hit by four cars. Is that real? True story?
That's a true story. Yeah.
Oh, wow. God. Now, I know you're a cautious guy. You're a thoughtful guy. You obviously triathlete and Ironman, and look where you're at now, you know, in your career. How does that happen? They just don't pay attention to you? Because I know you're paying attention.
How do you get hit by four cars
and live to tell about it?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, you know how it goes. It's the insurance companies reward the best premiums, typically are rewarded and directed at ladies, because they drive the most cautious, the most safe, and they follow the rules. Different than you on the dirt road and your dad's
road. I guess I can't argue that fact on this episode, can I? That I'm a good driver?
No. Right. So, but the facts remain that three of the four people who hit me were women, and one was a drunk man. So, you know, I don't hold any grudges to the drunk guy. It wasn't his fault. He was impaired by alcohol. But the three women were absolutely sober and just.
Now, I don't want to get, and I shouldn't even open my mouth right now, but I should change the subject if I knew it was good for me. But every woman that I've ever driven with speeds more than I'm always scared as a passenger. It almost seems like they've got a little more daredevil in them than men. So it's interesting that, and this show is not about the insurance companies in there.
Sponsored by Farmers.
Sponsored by Farmers.
I think this is more about domestic something or other there, because I have to wonder if he knew these women, or yeah, they knew enough about him.
He's a family man.
We got to take him out.
Hey, okay, let's. I promised Oz I was going to keep this PG for PGA. Oz, we never had this conversation because we were young, kids just having fun and you know, had these kind of conversations. But I was actually always fascinated by your love for golf and how you ran that at such a young age. You became pro, right? If I recall, in high school. Yeah. And then was it in high school?
It was out of high school. Yeah.
High school. Can you become
18 at a minimum age to do it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I wasn't sure what the rules were there, but the love for golf, where did that come from? It's more than just growing up on the golf course, and that's what you did, right? I mean, why did you take to it so much, and you've made a life out of it?
Yeah, I don't know. The game's a fascinating sport. It's clearly a lifelong sport. You can do it, you know, any place and everywhere. And back in during the time period that we're talking about here today, you know, the world was a little bit more sensible. It wasn't as crazy as it is today. There wasn't as much compression. It wasn't changing all the time. We didn't have cell phones. Interestingly enough, my son's 15 years old, and roughly 10 years ago, only 10 years ago, he was in my office, picks up my office phone with a weird look on his face, stares at me, and he says, "Your phone's broke." I go, "What'd you do?" Because I didn't do anything. And it's a dial tone. He had never heard a dial tone.
Oh my God.
So when you really think about the world today, it's moving. The velocity of change is so great in the world today. You know, back then it was just you and golf and it was just peaceful. So I don't know what it was about it other than just having the opportunity to go out and play with my friends. You were certainly one of them, one of many of them that we would get out there, and it was just good, harmless sport. And for whatever it was, it just drew me in to a point at which one thing, you know, either you choose your career or your career chooses you. And this is a very easy case to see that the career chose me as a function of, you know, my enjoyment and love for golf, no doubt.
Well, aside from, there's probably a lot of people that feel this, I mean, you, I'm sure, on certain days, but the frustration of I was never able to become a good golfer, although I worked on that course for 4 years, right? 4 or 5 years. And that's a shame. But there's something about golf. I don't know if it's the outdoors, it's the greens, it's the quiet, you know, the peacefulness that you mentioned. There is just something about golf when you're out there on that course, whether you're playing or mowing it, that it's just magical, isn't it? It's just magical.
Yeah, but it brings up that old joke that golf is ruins a perfectly good walk in nature.
Yeah, the way I do it, for sure. I'm the guy that starts out with how many clubs in a bag? I don't even know, and I don't have any when I finish. Anyway, Dodd, so it was really there at Stone Ridge that you, as you started playing the course and, you know, working and getting to know the
sport? Yeah, 100%. It was just an outdoor activity. I was always into sports, so it was something you could do outside. It was always around people, and the people that, you know, they're always similar in terms of their interest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a subtlety between the game of golf and the sport of golf. I think when you and I were playing it when we were teenagers, it clearly was a sport based on what we had to do just to, you know, keep our heads above water. But the game itself was wonderful, and the people around it were great. And so I still have lifelong friends from the game of golf, even way back when in Blanchard, Idaho at Stone Ridge Resort. It was just a phenomenal place, great people. And yeah, it was probably the relationships more than anything. Game came, you know, shortly thereafter.
Yeah. You always took it so serious, and it's so neat to see where you've taken, you know, what your career. But can you give us a little bit of a, a history on where you went from, you know, where we left off, where you and I left off, you know, as I went away and I don't know how long you were there. I don't know where you went from there. I mean, I do a little bit from your bio, but could you tell us a little bit about how you left Stone Ridge at the pro shop and where you're at now, how you got there?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to retrace all the steps. I can say, generally speaking, golf, one of the unique things about golf, probably no different than the restaurant business, is you develop a network. And the network rewards people who are passionate and driven and have the sort of grittiness to innovate and take the next step and improve the lives of them around, all around them, mm-hmm. so to speak. And I just kept meeting people who kept wanting me to do more things. So how about you come over here and open this place? Probably sounds familiar to some of the work you've done. Then you get there and they're like, hey, you'd be great if you went to this spot. And so as a result of a lot of the early stops that I made in my career, I worked at public facilities and private country club facilities, resort facilities, certainly you named one. And then I wound up at a university, and some of the most unique things happened at the university. First, I had an opportunity to get to know the dean, because I wasn't very good at college early on. It was just kind of early on. But once I figured out that you had to show up to class, you had to read the books and write the papers. And if you did that sequence of things, you would succeed in the classroom, you know. Uh-huh. And so once I figured out the methodology to success, at least in college, you know, I was in school from 1989 to 2008 full time. During that time, I met the deans and the presidents and many other people. And so I was playing golf again, networking, playing golf with the dean. And I said, I think it'd be pretty cool if we built this kind of program, this new hospitality sport management program. He said, fine, great, let's do it. And we did. And so it was accredited by PGA, called Professional Golf Management, first of its kind. And then I was playing golf with the president, and the president was same sort of thing. How's things going? Let me know what we can do. And then we developed some other courses for the president. And then that eventually caught the attention because of the innovative nature of the institution of the PGA of America, where they needed to digitize everything that they did. And they said, hey, would you come down here and create a digital platform, allowing us a more contemporary approach to all the business that we do? Sure enough. And the best part of the story was, my wife says to me, do you even know what the heck you're doing? I said, I got She said, is there a manual for this? There's, you know, she goes, all these people think you're smart. I said, don't tell anybody, but certainly don't tell Jeremiah. But yeah, so I get there and she goes, is there a manual for what you're supposed to do? I said, I hope so. There wasn't anything, you know, you just kind of had to figure it out. But I think back to the stories you were telling, and it was a fascinating intro, because so much of what you shared, I hadn't even thought about for all those years. But it's when you create slack for yourself, when you can just get out and you can think and you can enjoy life a little bit, we're not under the scrutiny of life. It's amazing what you can do. And so, yeah, that was ultimately how I got into the PGA. They had called me a few times and asked me, and it was on the third try. I said no the first two times. The third time, my wife said, you know, they're probably not going to call you a fourth time.
Yeah.
Tell them quit bugging you or give it a shot. And I did. And it was a great decision. I'm still here 13 years later, and we've done some remarkable things.
It's an amazing story, Jaws. And again, like I said, nobody deserves it more than you do, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, all your success, because you, you know, it's a passion. It's been a passion since I've known you. And it's just so neat. Of yours, I think, and it's so neat to see where you've taken it and what you can do. Like you said, if you just network and get out there and do the best you can,
right.
And so it's worked for you though. I mean, you're at the top of your game, at the top of the golf world. You know, as far as business, is it still fun? You still have fun?
It's a blast. Yeah, I mean, well, golf has a wonderful way, I'm sure, as other enterprises do and industries do, of shrinking the world. If you get involved in that world, golf's big. I mean, it's a $85 billion a year industry. So it's big. There's golf everywhere. And it doesn't matter where I go. I know somebody at a golf course. Mm-hmm. It's actually a little bit more difficult for me now, because I try to hide out and stay under the radar and not, you know, I want to play golf the way all of us want to play golf. And sometimes I can't do that. But it's a wonderful, it shrinks the world. It's a wonderful network. I love it like it was just yesterday. That's the cool part about it.
Well, when we come back, I mean, then you're outdoors, which is so great. I mean, I hope you get outdoors. I'm sure you're at the office, but I'm sure you get out there quite a bit. We all want to discuss the impact of COVID has had on the game and how golf has just exploded due to being outdoors. And we're going to talk about that when we come back from this break. We have my friend and a very, very special guest on, and I do mean that. So an honor to have him join us on the show. My friend Dawes Marlette, and let me say he's a senior director of education and employment departments at the PGA of America. You can find PGA on Instagram at PGA, Facebook at Facebook, PGA.com, Facebook PGA.com, and find him on the web at PGA.com. The PGA Golf Show in Orlando is coming up on January 25th through the 28th, 2022. This year, this month, the PGA Show returns to Orlando. The event is a trade-only event right now, I think, right, Dawes? And not open to the public, but you can find out more at pgashow.com. Is that right? It's not open to the public?
Yeah, I mean, the public has access to it, but it's not a consumer show. It's more, it's an industry show. It's a, and it's become a global golf show. It's the biggest global, it's the biggest golf show in the world. So, you know, countries from all around, they show up. It actually kicks off Monday. So we're interested to see the impact that this crazy virus is going to have on everybody. But we're all herd animals. We want to be together badly. We're so tired of Zoom and all these other, you know, video conferences. So we'll see how it goes. We're excited about it. And by all early accounts, it's going to be a success.
Okay, so again, pgashow.com, the golf industry reunites for in-person PGA Show to drive forward the business of the sport with innovative new products, industry presentations, comprehensive education, and professional networking. This brings the community of golf together under the latest health and safety protocols. We'll be right back. And by the way, if you want to check out Stone Ridge, go to stoneridgeidaho.com.
Shadow Stevens. While I'm doing this and that and the other thing at the very same time, I'm having a great time on The Jeremiah Show, the greatest show in the history of the world. For the love of God, subscribe. No, seriously, subscribe.
Hi, I'm Marielle Hemingway, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
Back to Jeremiah Show. Dawes Marlette, Senior Director, Education and Employment Departments of the PGA of America, is our special guest. Welcome back, Dawes.
Gentlemen.
Talk to me, gentlemen. He's very generous there, isn't he? With that word. Don's talked to me, and I need to get you to laugh before this is all over, because you've got the best laugh in the world. I haven't heard it for 30 years. Don doesn't get it out there. He doesn't laugh. Like he shares it with friends. He just doesn't throw it out there.
It's like gold.
Yes, it's like gold. Mining gold. Daz has laughed. But he's got the best sense of humor. Such a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
So Daz, let's talk about the impact of COVID has, and I hate to mention the name because I just want to stay happy today, but COVID has had an impact on the game. What is that impact?
Oh, I mean, for us, it was crazy. We had a, you know, when this thing first came out, we didn't know what to expect. I mean, you know, the state of California that you're in is, you know, they were very cautious about it. In Florida, I went from one hot spot to another, from Florida to Texas, and they both had the big red dots on them. If you watched, you know, the news during the middle of the day, the hard part for Florida that I was in, South Florida and Palm Beach, was that the community I lived in, everybody's retired. So what do you do when you retire? You watch TV, and TV told them they were going to die every day. So awesome.
Still is, by the way. I turned it on today.
Yeah. You walk outside, it's like a human chain across the street. And at the time, I was always outside running. And in the beginning, I would be running down these sidewalks, and I lived at PJ National Resort, and the sidewalks aren't they're 12 feet wide.
Wow.
These retirees were running for the banks because I was coming. They're like, that's a COVID guy running. I know. So just kind of, I digress a little bit, but what happened was we were a little uncertain about how this virus was going to treat everybody, fearful we were going to be shut down, much like your introductory comments about, you know, this, the sad news of the hospitality industry. As it turned out though, everybody flocked to golf because we were able to convince the officials that golf was a safe haven because you're outdoors. We were sensible about golf cars and how we socially distance and do all the things necessary. Rather than pull the flag out, we convinced ourselves that leaving the darn thing in was okay. Just so you'd have to touch anything. You know, looking back on it, it's pretty crazy that where we started and where we've come. Nonetheless, what happened was the industry exploded exponentially from golfers. In fact, we had just come off an industry downturn where we were cutting budgets and we were scaling back on labor. And then you come face first into this rush of exuberance. And so we were going 100 miles an hour, and we've not stopped since March of 2020. And, you know, the industry, while profitable and money's everywhere, the workforce, and you mentioned this in the hospitality and the food industry, they're tired. And so it's difficult. You know, the labor issue is real, and it's real in our industry. But yeah, we've made, the industry has been robust. It's experienced a lot of success from a profitability, a monetary perspective. But, you know, the fabric of it, which is the people like myself that work in it day in and day out, are getting chewed on a little bit. So, you know, nice when things normalize and we can come up for air and regroup, and the holidays were great for that, but it has been fantastic from a business perspective for sure.
Interesting. So we got to take another break here real quick, Daz, and I've only got 8 minutes with you before you've got to go, so I want to get as much time with you as I can in the show. Let me take this break now so we can come right back and continue on. We're talking with Daz Marlett, Senior Director of Education and Employment Departments at the PGA of America. You can go to PGA of America or PGA on Instagram at PGA. PGA.com. And just want to remind you again, if you're in Florida, I know we've got a lot of listeners there, the PGA Golf Show in Orlando, and that is coming up on Monday, the 25th to 28th January. It's in Orlando, Florida. PGAshow.com. We'll be right back.
Why do the birds go on singing?
Hey there, I'm Caleb.
I'm Becca.
And I'm Joshua.
And we are Girl Named Tom.
Go to girlnamedtom.com to hear more of our music, buy merchandise, and learn about our story. You're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
And we're back with The Jeremiah Show.
You've been listening to The Jeremiah Show. I am Miles Zuniga from Fastball.
Hey, this is Tim.
And this is Christian. We're L1011.
Hi, this is Ron Sexsmith on The Jeremiah Show.
Welcome back to The Jeremiah Show. We're spending the time just putting around a little bit with my old friend, Daz Marlett, who has made a lot out of himself. And I knew him way back then. This is a shame, though. I wish I could make a joke and say, you know, some funny joke and say, I can't believe what he made out of himself after high school and all the fun we had. But I always knew this guy was going to make it, so the joke just lands flat. It wouldn't be true. So welcome back to the show, Daz. Tell me, break down your innovative, man. You told us about all the innovation has kind of got you to where, you know, the forward thinking, the creativity with all these great clubs and the network that you've built up across the world, basically. Led you to the job that you're in now and the position you are in now. And the position, the title, Senior Director of Education and Employment Departments, and you're building a new flagship headquarters for PGA. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about your job, brag about yourself, and what you do, and what some of the cool initiatives are that your department is in charge of as far as education and getting the word out about golf?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's education. And so on the surface, you think to yourself, well, you know, don't give me the test, whatever it takes. If you're going to give me a test, give me the answers. You know, I don't want any pop. But the reality of it is, it's really positioned more as professional development. And how do we create an opportunity for people to be the best versions of themselves and succeed? And the coolest thing we can do collectively as a society is to innovate and create business. And if we can create business so that we create more jobs, it's about the most responsible thing I know how to do. So if you're gonna create jobs, give other people opportunities and improve their skill to succeed and flourish, then it's pretty rewarding and fulfilling. And I just happen to have the opportunity to do it in sport, in particular golf, and it's been just wonderful along the way. So the PGA of America and the job itself, it was definitely a young man's sport for me early on. I've flown all around the world several times. The cool thing is, and I think your listeners and you all can appreciate this, when you network yourself and you create a sense of community with high performing, eager people, the amount of ideas and energy that you get is unlimited. And then it's up to us to capitalize on it. And most of the time, we just need the resources to do it. And I've been in a lucky position to work for a great institution that has money and willing to take risks and for the betterment of, you know, being mission-based rather than profit-based. I mean, to be mission-based allows us an opportunity to do good and improve those around us versus, you know, being being having a mission or having a profitable mission, which was like the opioid crisis. What we're going to do is we're going to make money off of everything. Who cares if you live or die? Mm-hmm. That's not the way we do it. So, you know, we want to make sure that people enjoy themselves. What's that?
That's not a good business model.
Well, it was killing your customers. For pharmaceuticals, but. Yeah. but
give us one before we take our last break, and then we're just going to come back and say goodbye to you, basically. But give us one. Give me one that you're really proud of. Something that you and your team have put together that has really made an impact. That one of the things that you're most proud of.
Oh gosh, and we've done so many things. I think it's just everything's in context. So probably one of the coolest things that we did. We've developed some wonderful partners with people around the world, with leading institutions, universities, and so on. But maybe one of the coolest things we did very recently was we designed a bunch of simulations that could be run anytime, any place on your computer. And they're pretty sophisticated. So it's...
Do they help you improve your game?
Well, absolutely. Well, and there's so much technology in the industry in golf. So... to help you play better, help you coach better, help you perform in business better. And so we've just taken technology and wrapped it around some cool solutions, allowing people to you know, basically get better without the risk of failing. And that's pretty cool.
Our guest today, Daz Marlett, Senior Director of Education and Employment Departments for the PGA of America. Go to PGA.com to see all the great things that Daz and his and all the people that work there are doing. We'll be right back. Our last break, and we're going to let Daz go.
Every evening, when all my days work is through, I call my baby and ask her what's up with you. I met some movies, but she don't seem to be dead. And then she asks me, why don't I come through her flat and have some supper and let the evening pass by? I'm making records, besides a groovy hi-fi. I say, yeah, yeah. And that's what I say, yeah, yeah.
Hi there, everybody. This is Ann Hitch.
Hey, everybody. I'm Art Alex Hucks from the band Everclear.
My name's Danny Trejo.
And you're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
Jeremiah, you're loved, Holmes.
Do you need help with your restaurant or hospitality business? See how we can help your business at hjlrestaurantadvisors.com.
Hey, this is Jeff Skunk Baxter. Please open your heart and reach out to a veteran and let them know, number one, that they are loved and respected. You won't give up if they don't give up. And you're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. We're whispering. I don't know why, Dr. D.
It's because Dawes is just about to putt from 55 feet out.
Putt? You mean drive?
No, putt.
Okay, shut
He's
up.
He's using his putter.
Daz Marlett is our special guest today. We just burnt all his time doing our funny, not even funny, skit. Dr. D.
Yes.
Daz Marlett, Senior Director of Education and Employment Departments. If you're just tuning in your cars or wherever you're at, you're going to have to go back to the beginning, go to the podcast and check this episode out. It's been really great talking with
We should Daz. Go out to do a threesome out on a course. And just so you know, Daz, I have never played a game of golf, so it would be very, very interesting.
Well, we need to start you with train wheels then.
Because Dawes would not.
Generally with Jeremiah, training wheels are equivalent to maybe a Coors Light or two and maybe one of the Top Golf or Drive Shack kind of solutions where we can go in there and have people pick our own golf balls up after we hit them out there.
I like it. I never forget that course in Hawaii on Maui. What's the plantation? And then there's the one, what's the one that, there's three. And the plantation I loved, but what was the one where you hit out over the water, does you know that golf course in Maui?
Kapalua,
yeah. So I'm not joking you. I went through a basket of balls trying to get it over onto the green. I mean, I spent a bunch of money. Then I think I used the driving balls. You don't want to play. You and I can play. Dawes would get really frustrated with us.
No, he probably.
Dawes, anything you want to call out, things that you guys need there, that you need? Are you hiring? Do you, are there any...
Wait a minute, are you looking for another job?
I'll mow greens again. I promise I won't fall asleep.
Okay, Don.
Listen, gentlemen, we're everybody's always looking for great talent, but that's not what this is about. What I like to see everybody do is, you know, get off their couch, get outside, play some golf, enjoy themselves with their friends, their family, and so on. And by all, you know, Just beware of any of you two in the same foursome, because
helmets.
It can be a dangerous sport. It's an enjoyable sport, but you want to keep it.
Yeah.
All due respect,
it's all right to us. I haven't improved. I've only probably gotten worse since last time we played. It's been an honor, my friend. It's so good to have you on. I hope that you make this a second radio home and come on more often. We'd love with so many golfers out here. We'd love to hear from you more. Again, Dawes Marlette, and tell your mom, Bobby, and your sister, Tracy, hello for me, and your wife that I have not met, maybe one day when you're in Santa Barbara. Dawes Marlette, again, Senior Director of Education and Employment Departments at the PGA of America. Dawes, thank you so much.
You're welcome. We'll do this again, and we'll do it from a golf venue.
We'll drive you while you play golf. Richard and I will.
We'll sit at the 19th hole.
Okay.
There you go.
There, everybody does, Marlette. Yes. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
All right. I wanted to mention, though, our friend Yoshiki. You know, Yoshiki, the rock star. Yoshiki does everything. He's a rock star. He's a pianist. He is a drummer for X Japan and Solo. You can go now and stream Yoshiki live at Carnegie Hall on demand. For the first time on PBS Passport. It's the online streaming platform for America's largest public broadcast networking at PBS. Go to PBS.org, Passport, and videos, and look up Yoshiki. It's just a great, amazing concert with Yoshiki. Again, Yoshiki on PBS Passport, Yoshiki live at Carnegie Hall. You can go to yoshiki.net to check out more and see what Yoshiki's doing. Just an amazing, amazing person, amazing man, amazing artist. And he's on Instagram at Yoshiki Official. We're going to play one of the songs from the concert. It's called Miracle. Communicate, listen more, and evolve.
Oh, Hi, this is comedian Maz Chobrani, and you are listening to The Jeremiah Show. Listen, man.
Did you like our soundtrack? Find all of our soundtracks on Spotify. The Jeremiah Show. Look for the black label. As always, a big thanks to Dr. D for making our voices come alive on the airwaves, and to our station manager, Les Carroll, for letting us on the air at all. Be sure to check out our very own Richard Dugan, a.k.a. Dr. D, Peabody Award-nominated radio show, Tell Me Your Story, every Sunday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Listeners, we appreciate you and want to hear from you. Please send us your ideas at jeremiah@thejeremiahshow.com or on Messenger, on Facebook, or Instagram. The Jeremiah Show is produced by executive producer Jeremiah Higgins and sound and engineer producer Richard Dr. D. Dugan. And me, your announcer, Tony Kelly. Communicate, listen more, and evolve.
I'ma put my guns in the ground. I can't shoot them anymore. That cold black cloud is coming down.
This is Miles Copeland. Yeah, I just had the honor of speaking to the Jeremiah Show. Who would have believed that little old me would have the opportunity to speak on such a prestigious show? And they even talked about my book, Two Steps Forward, One Step Back, My Life in the Music Business. So it was a great pleasure to be on that show, the Jeremiah Show.
I love you.